Thank you so much, John and Jonathan, and you've got yet another John. Wonderful to be with you tonight and to share the Word of God with you, and just to fellowship with you. Thank you so much for the privilege of ministering here this evening. We've already had two scriptures read to us, and both of them dealt with water. And tonight I want to bring the Word of God to you around the issue of blocked up wells. Because as I've gone on in life and ministry, I've discovered that many of God's people are like a blocked up well. You could be sitting here tonight and spiritually your life is like a blocked up, clogged up well. Now you know that in Scripture, water in the Bible is often a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Many times there's all sorts of symbols of the Holy Spirit, fire and oil, but very often water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that a little later as we heard it read just now in John 7 verse 37, Jesus likens water to the Holy Spirit. God's people, you, may have forsaken the Spirit-filled Christian life for a stagnant Christian life full of blockages and sin. It's very easy to have a form of religion and to know all the right answers and to say all the right things and yet be spiritually stagnant within. Yes, you love the Lord. The very fact you're here tonight is an indicator that you love the Lord. But so often, mature Christians are like these blocked up wells. Let's go to Ephesians 5 verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. You can just bring that up. How you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here it is. Here's the Lord's will. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I want to talk about what prevents that filling tonight. I want us to look together at the Word of God and see those blocks and what prevents those. In Genesis 26, we read the story of Isaac going around to where his father Abraham had dug a whole lot of wells. And verse 18 says this: Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abram, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abram died. And he gave them the same names that his father had given them. The Philistines had discovered a brilliant war strategy. It was this simple. You went along, and instead of having to take out the swords or whatever they used, you simply killed off one or two of your enemy's flocks, let the carcasses rot for a few days in the hot Israel sun, and then throw a whole lot of sand, and one of the earlier verses spoke about that, down into the well, throw an animal rotting carcass on top of that, and then block it at the top. So there are at least three things the enemies did. They threw sand into the well, they threw rocks down to block the flow. And how do you like the cow there? I'm sure you enjoy the dead animal down into the well to poison the water. It was a brilliant strategy because that sand below retained the E. coli and the bacteria. So even if you unstop the well, you had the poison in the well. Even if you took those rocks out and pulled the carcass out, the poison remained in the well. All that bacteria and mess was still there. So a blocked up well was ruinous to you. You had to move away. You had no choice. You were done with that area. And in the same way, your spiritual life becomes like a blocked up well where people have thrown poison into your life, where rocks have been thrown into your life, and they have caused hurts and pain and poisonous attitudes and poisonous thoughts that have disrupted the flow of the water of the Spirit of God working through your life. It's interesting to me that Isaac didn't go and dig new wells. He went back, this is now years later, and the poison has obviously subsided out of the well 20, 30, 40 years later. He went back to what his father knew. And he knew worked. Those old wells work. And very often in the Christian life, we're after the new fad or, you know, this is the new movement of the Spirit of God. And I'm not opposed to any new move of the Spirit of God. Hear me. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't seek to understand what God's Spirit may be doing. But going back to the old truths that our fathers knew, that were foundational in our Christian life, is so, so important. That is what Isaac did. He went back to what he knew, even as a child. You don't have to dig a new spiritual well in your life. You don't have to start the Christian life all over. You just have to open up those wells that have become hurt and blocked and poisonous in your life. Go back to that first love. And get rid of the junk that has been thrown at you. Or you've allowed to creep into your life. That has stopped you from moving forward. So what is some of the stuff, the junk, the sin that we've allowed into our lives? And that other people have thrown into our lives. Because not everything have we willfully brought into our lives. I want to go through a list of some of those this evening. Doubt. Very often, we're saying, can God do this? No, God's not interested in me. You see, God really won't come through for me. Or this thing is far too big. It can't happen. And so we allow doubt in God and His ability to creep into the well of our life. We allow the sand of doubt to be thrown in to say, God doesn't love me. Another one. Critical attitude or criticism. Perhaps someone has been throwing criticism at you. And they've criticized and criticized. And that has hurt. And it's caused deep wounds. And the response from you has been to allow that critical spirit to grow within you as well. And the well of your life has had this poisonous animal thrown down there into that critical attitude. Open up. Nothing in your life is fresh anymore. Next one. Unresolved conflict. Very often there is pain in families. I've been amazed. I've been able to be part of life and ministry for nearly 40 years. And I have seen Christian families torn apart through conflict and pain and unresolved issues. We're sinners. We're going to have conflict. But that unresolved conflict lies like a festering, rotten carcass in your spiritual well, which poisons your life. Unrecognized depression. That's another one. Very often, the pains and the hurts of life brought a despair that there is no hope for me. I'm a mess. I am, you know. And I find so often, this is part of one of these rotting carcasses that the devil or the Philistines, remember it was the enemy, the Philistines have thrown this in. And Satan throws this stuff at us. He throws it into our life. And depression can be so bad that you deny it. When people try and raise the subject with you, you push back and say, it's not me, it's you, you, you're the cause of the trouble. It can ruin your spiritual life. Dysfunctional relationships. This is toxic. It is poisonous on your own spiritual life. It's like that rotten carcass where nothing gets solved spiritually in your own life because you're carrying these deep hurts in these relationships. Another one, anger. I'm amazed at the level of anger that some people carry. I'm talking about people who love the Lord, but they have this huge sense of deep anger within inside of them. I'm not talking about a righteous anger. I'm talking about an anger that is driven often drives conflict, it drives the criticism. It's just there all the time. People have to tiptoe around you. That's a poison in your spiritual life. Let me say to you, you will never draw the spiritual water up, the Holy Spirit's power up, when your life is festering with anger. Bitterness is another one. Bitterness against your spouse or your family or your parents or your leadership or your work situation or your children or your grandchildren. Whoever out there. And you say, well, life wasn't meant to turn out like this. No wonder I'm bitter. No wonder I'm angry. You don't show that. I'm not sure who said it, but it's brilliant. Brilliant. Bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping your enemy will die. You drink the poison hoping your enemy will die. It's a poisonous, rotting carcass in your spiritual life. Blame, another one. His problem, not mine. Her problem, not mine. If only my parents hadn't done this, or if only she hadn't said that. Blame, blame, blame. It's destructive. It's a block. And you have to stop it. Guilt. guilt. Something happened in the past. It may have been recent, it may have been 40 or 50 years ago. But that guilt still lurks. And every now and again, this rock of guilt blocks everything in your life. You feel, how can God use me when I'm messed up like this? I'm a failure. And that guilt prevents you from living the Spirit-filled life. Addictions. 40, 50 years ago, alcohol was just about the only addiction known to us. Today, substance abuse. Today, all sorts of social media abuses. I recently heard the new name for any social media addiction. Facebook addictions, you know, fear of missing out stuff and all of that. The new name for that, where you go to get help, is EHAB. You don't go to rehab, you go to EHAB to work through your addictions to all of these social medias and Facebook and Twitter and whatever else. But you just got to know, it's an addiction. Wake up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, better check Facebook in case something happened in the few hours I've been speaking. And you smile, but it's happening. Pornography. An addiction that people didn't have access to years back. Now it's available at the click of a button. All of those addictions cause such pain. It's a block to your spiritual life. And I have to be dealt with if you're going to go forward. The well of your life is blocked with that stuff in it. Fear. Now, to a degree, all of us face some level of fear. You know, fear that your soccer team is not going to win or whatever. But there's a normal amount of daily fear. But when fear becomes paralytic and it prevents you from moving forward, the Bible talks about that as a spirit of fear. My friend, it has to be rooted out of the well of your life. You can't move forward with that paralyzing fear in your life. Here's a big block. This is a very big poison sin. And it's something that our generation never talked about. Child abuse. Childhood sexual abuse, childhood physical abuse, childhood verbal abuse. We were just told as children, grin and bear it, and that's the way the life goes for any child. But you may have been abused 50, 60, 70 years ago. And there is just this lurking memory that something happened. It is so deep. It's like got into that sand in the bottom of the well. And that sand is choked up with all this bacteria and E. coli and whatever else is there. And it blocks the well of your life. Maybe you're hurting from. As I counseled over the years in ministry, I discovered that often it's until a person only comes out with it in their 40s and in their 50s, suddenly the stuff wells up. And even in most of our generation, you didn't talk about it. You don't go to a counselor, you just got to say, Lord, deliver me. I want to tell you, it's a poison. It's a cruel poison that someone threw into your life. rejection. Rejection is another block for me. And rejection leads to all sorts of other issues. Where you are not confident in a relationship, it leads to self-image issues, it leads to all sorts of other issues. But that spirit of rejection is another block for many. It's a poison, it's a rotten carcass, which must be pulled out of the well of your life. And those sort of bottom three or four, fear, childish abuse, deliberate sin, it's another one. My friend, they are almost subterranean. They're almost so far down in the well of your life, it's like another layer of rock is there, and you won't go there. Let me tell you a story. About 5 years ago, when we had bought a new piece of land behind the existing Living Hope building, and we were sinking a well, we hired a company to come in and put a borehole in. And they said, it's R1,000 a meter. And on day one, they got to 37 meters. And I'm thinking like, wow, this is a good business. You know, this is the business everybody wants to be in, R37,000 in a day. Well, the next day, they hit rock. And they had to bring in a new drill bit, and end of day two, they were only at 38 meters. And so day three, and day four, and day five, and day six, they were still at 40 meters. And then I realized, well, maybe it wasn't such a great business after all. And on one particular, it was about day six morning, I went up to Living Hope, and the guy who was drilling, it's family-owned, three generations business. He said to me, okay, how much longer can we go on? We've got water, we haven't got great water, but we've got some water. So I said to him, I want you to go another 2 days. Okay, we'll do that. I went back to King of Kings, and about an hour later, I got a phone call, get up to Living Hope quick. Well, I went, and I arrived there. The rig was out to the side, and I mean it. The water was this high, coming out of a pipe this width. And the guy drilling said to me, my father has spoken about these moments, but I've never seen it. He said, when I pierced through the rock, all 46 meters of pipe and cord were blasted out, and the rig was knocked off its stand. By the sheer force of the water. And when I got there, an hour later, this water was still coming out. And you know what was coming out with it? Small pieces of rock and dirt and even fossilized material. It was still blasting it out. And about 2 hours later, when it was about this high above the ground, this crystal, clear, pure water was coming out. Your life is exactly like that. Some of the stuff in your life is subterranean. You've pushed it down and buried it beneath a hard, No one is allowed near there. You won't even go there. And my friend, the Spirit of God tonight is drilling. Maybe through recent circumstances in your own life, that drill has been going down and down. And tonight God's Spirit says to you, my child, what are the real issues deep down in your life? What are those things under the surface that prevent you from opening up in a powerful relationship with the Holy Spirit? What are they? You need to name them. We went through some of them. Maybe it is childhood hurts, criticism, conflict, depression, self-image, dysfunctional relationship, bitterness, anger, blame, guilt, addictions, fear, childhood abuse, deliberate sin, addictions. You name it. I don't know what they are, but you know what the Spirit of God is putting His finger on tonight. What are they? You need to answer that question tonight. Because until you name it and say, God, this is a poisonous animal in my spiritual life. This is a hard rock in my spiritual life. This is a block in the life of my spiritual well. You're not going to move forward. But you see, when you allow the Spirit of God to drill right through, then as John 7:37-39 says this, on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up in a loud voice and said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will what? Flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. My friend, it is possible for that spiritual river of life, of living water, to burst through and blow out the rubbish which I saw coming out of that artesian well. It was bits of this and bits of that, and rock and fossilized material and dirt and mud. God's Spirit is able to do it for you. Friend, your pain is not too deep. The abuse you've suffered is not too hard. That critical and bitter spirit that is sat can be broken by the Spirit's power. He is able. You're not too old. You're not too young to know the Spirit's fullness. But you may be resistant to allowing His Spirit to drill down deep where people haven't been allowed to go. Tonight God says to you, "My child, I had an appointment with you. I brought you to this place so that you could experience the power of my Spirit at work within your life." Let's bow together and pray. You're tired of living in a state of perpetual dryness. Maybe you don't even know what it is, but you just know my life is blocked up. The spiritual well of my life, the Spirit of God doesn't burst through any longer. Or to use other language, I just don't know the Spirit's fullness. Allow His Spirit to drill down deep tonight. What is He saying to you tonight? What blocks? What poisonous animals have you allowed? What others have thrown at you and thrown into your life and that festered? Use these quiet moments to say, Lord, it's this, it's this. Spirit of God, I pray you would even reveal now to folks sitting here what it is that has caused this block in their lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the power of the Spirit, Lord, would work, showing. Like, I want to pray for you. I'm not sure of the traditions in this church. But I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray that what has been a block for you would be broken tonight. I want to pray that you would just know the rivers of living water flowing from without, flowing from within you. Giving you power to live the Christian life. Giving you victory over sin. Blowing this rotten stuff that you've had in your life right out. And so perhaps you're just wherever you're seated with your eyes closed. Just want to hold your hands out. You don't have to raise them high. But just in an action of receiving tonight. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I receive, rather than sort of sitting there all clammed up. And even if you are, that's often an indication that there's something deeper. So as a sign, just hold your hands up to God now. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray the power of your Spirit would come and drill out stuff, Lord, that has been pushed down and poison thrown into people's lives. Lord, that tonight the Spirit of God would release the stuff that is blocking up the well of people's spiritual life. Perhaps even, Lord, blocking up the well of the spiritual life of this church. Lord, that you would liberate people by the power of your Spirit. You would set them free tonight. Lord, only you can. Your Spirit drilling down deep. Oh, come, Spirit of God, I pray. To everyone who's open to you tonight, fill them up. Oh, I ask it. Come, Spirit of God. Release your power. Release your healing. Release your comfort. Release your strength. In Jesus' powerful name, I ask that you may put your hands down. Amen. Many spiritually mature people here, and pastors' wives and elders, and perhaps you're even one of those who raised their hands. But I know if you'd like more prayer this evening, there'll be folk up front just to minister with you, to pray with you, maybe through something that God has touched your life. Isn't it crazy that we Christians are embarrassed to ask for prayer? We almost feel like, oh, I can't do that, you know. I mustn't show there's a weak chink somewhere in my armor. Ask for prayer. Don't be embarrassed of whatever's been there in the will of your life. So therefore, I could love to pray with you tonight. Thank you for the privilege of bringing the Word of God.